This is Twit.
Beyond drone racing, use of first-person view goggles to fly drones caught my eye this week that DJI, who makes the really popular, really fun-to-use drone, the Phantom, has some goggles now that will control it. It really, the goggles seem to be designed to make the drone piloting experience, first of all, much more wow factor, because it really gives you this first person virtual reality kind of experience. They also seem to be trying to make it broaden their audience away from the tech drone photography geek just to someone who might want to have an interesting experience.
These drone companies, yeah. I mean, DJI in particular, they made this drone called the Phantom, and they implemented a lot of fail safes in them so that to make it accessible to just about anybody. What they did was they added a GPS chip to it so that the thing knew where it was. If you flew out of transmission range for your controller, it would fly back. If it started running out of batteries, it would automatically fly back. So they made these things really dummy-proof. And so the next step with this the VR headset is to make you feel like you're a miniature pilot sitting on your drone, and that is just so cool. I had the privilege to go to CES not this year but last year, and drones were all over the place, and things like drones with these headsets were all over the place. And how cool is that? It's like playing a real-life video game. Except you can then take pictures of your neighbors eating dinner. So there's, that whole other things. Aspect of it. But the technology is just impossibly cool.
Yeah, so we have the video going. Why don't you give us the audio too, Victor?
The DJI goggles are designed for easy FPV flying, providing both seamless control and crystal clear views.
So you can see there that
a pair of large, high-quality screens offer.
As they're showing the people in this video, sometimes they have the person who has the goggles on holding the remote control and piloting the drone, and sometimes they have someone else doing that. And that's actually significant under the FAA rules, because having the actual goggle wearer flying the drone is right out unless you get a specific waiver from the FAA that you can do that. Otherwise,
anybody's going to buy this and not do that.
Right, exactly. That's my point in bringing it up today. It certainly DJI doesn't seem to be making a distinction here. Sometimes they have the goggle wearer flying and sometimes they don't. But as far as the FAA is concerned, if you are going to fly using first-person view goggles, if you are going to fly anything that's not line of sight, you know, you as the pilot, you have to have a visual observer. And that visual observer has to be able to see the drone. I mean, that's the whole point of the visual observer, which throws into the mix here, too, these DJI Phantoms, at least, and probably other drones, too. I found an article that tested one out. They wanted to see what its maximum range could be, and they were getting 4+ miles out of the thing. It was flying and sending back video from 4.2 miles away from where the pilot was standing. Yeah. So line of sight doesn't happen in that kind of scenario. So apparently, despite, you know, the marketing that we're seeing here and the technology that's available, as far as the FAA is concerned, operators are supposed to limit their flights to only line of sight, or you're supposed to have a visual observer and they're supposed to keep the thing in line of sight. Again, this is just sort of another example of we saw this in the drone racing world where they were going to have to figure out how they were in compliance with FAA rules. And now, you know, as this kind of technology, as you say, Sean, is more and more marketed to the consumer, so is everybody else.
Right.
So something to watch. Any thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to over the next 10 years. I think that there's real I've seen some initiatives for actually mapping out on GPS coordinates where property lines are, specifically around airports and, you know, to build in a backdoor map that actually restricts you from going into these areas. I think that's technologically feasible over the next 10 years, and I think that in terms of maximizing privacy and yet allowing individuals to travel certain areas with their drones, I think that, you know, futuristically looking in the next 5-10 years, I think that's the way to go.
So let me, I think I understand what you're saying. I know we've talked about this before on the show, sort of these virtual barriers for drones. So the way you're envisioning things working is you would, take off with your drone, and your drone, like Sean was saying, it has some various automation built into it, some self-piloting features. If it encountered a geofence, it would just go around it.
It would go around it or go back to the user. I think that, mm-hmm. I mean, people, like we were just talking about, people want to use these more than the line of sights, and the technology is going to be able to go further. You have to have these sort of geofencing if you're going to move the technology in a safe way. And something that restricts boundary lines. We've got a bunch of nuclear power or two nuclear power plants around here. We can't have drones around there. And they already do this with, when we have a football game at Notre Dame, you know, there's a 1,000-mile radius. I think that this is something that would allow local areas to put in restrictions. And I think this applies to surfing, too. If the local community wants to pass a zoning ordinance, the drones can't fly there. They would put in a geofencing. I know that that NASA has been looking into piloting a program to fund this research to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how far along they are. That's something I could check into for next week, though.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I would be interested to know what NASA's doing with this as well, because it's kind of a departure, just as flying drones are sort of a departure from other aircraft, right? There are, if you're going to fly an actual airplane, there are a whole lot more regulatory compliance issues that you have to face.
You also have the skin in the game factor.
You're on board.
Which is a big factor. I've flown in small planes, and you don't take risks when you're in them. So.
Right, exactly. You do. You definitely have a self-interest there that you know, if you crash your drone into somebody's property, might be not as severe. Although I don't know if you guys have ever priced those DJI Phantoms. You don't want to crash them if you bought one.
No, you do not.
Not cheap.